Okay. A few thoughts about transference and counter-transference. These can go into the essay or into the blog posts. One, probably to the equality question. So it's in that post I've already done. It's coming up. Functional difference. Equality and being the same and two human beings, both potential therapists, is good. It's interesting that Jung, that Murano says potential therapists, because one is and the other isn't. Therapists, he's not talking about director. The whole question of functional difference comes into it there. Highly equal human, both thou, both having the dignity of being of equal value in that human way, as human, equal value as human beings, sentient beings, but at that point doing a different job, functional difference. And one is to listen and the other is to explore. One is to, the therapist reflects by and large on the well-being of the client. But then to do that, now let me go back to another point first. Here, I'll quote Jung. One of the basic premises was the patient's illness needs to be... one of Jung's basic premises, not Jung, but someone talking about Jung, page 68 in Transference and Counter-Transference, Murray Stein quoting Mashikta, Tiger, Mactica. One of Jung's basic premises was that the patient's illness needs to be met by the analyst's health. This interaction requires the confrontation and the conscious interpretation of the conscious and unconscious counter-transference, transference position of both analyst and patient, and the subsequent integration of content. So, it's interesting in that passage, she's talking about a functional difference, which is an interesting one. The therapist's health meets the patient's illness. And yet she's talking about a symmetrical meeting of transference and counter-transference, which gets interpreted. Perhaps the interpretation is done as a job by the therapist, but the actual process is symmetrical. That she's talking about, how does the transference and counter-transference meet each other? I know I do that. I do that. I often say a little bit about how I'm sort of caught up in the system, or even a sort of what if. Sometimes I'll say, what if I now had what you've got? And got scared of saying what I felt, and I'd feel insecure here, and I wouldn't be able to do my job, or something like that. I'm thinking of supervision, where they might feel like that with another client. Okay, that was one. Two, self-disclosure. I recall the theory that self-disclosure was to be used. This is Karkov, I think. Self-disclosure was to be used with great discretion. And we tested it out. And that was really, this is the way to do these things, is to experiment on. I mean, it's all very well for someone to say that. We did a half an hour of counselling with each other, and or 10 minutes or something, and then 10 minutes with and 10 minutes without self-disclosure, and we swapped around people and we did it both ways, and then we were asked what was actually more useful, the bit with or without self-disclosure, and it was unanimous in the group without self-disclosure on the part of the therapist. You want them to be there for you and to listen intently to you. What their story is about all this is not so relevant to the patient. And that experiment, I know I've repeated, but it's always stuck with me. And yet I do self-disclose. Partly in therapy, because I think of the sharing phase in psychodrama, and I might replicate that in a one-to-one setting sometimes a little bit. Again, to affirm the equality and that they're not alone, they're not the only one who might have felt guilty or stuffed in some way, and the therapist. See, I can tell a story from my past when I did feel like it. I've been there. Point number three is, and this is my time with Telly. Look, I think and Moreno goes on about this quite clearly. You're always talking in transference about something from the past in the patient being transferred onto the therapist. You do need the word telly. There are two things going on at least. One is stuff is being transferred from the past into the present, and so you start to. And he's good. It's good. It's roles that lead to the transference. That is helpful, as Moreno says. But also, what if it's not transference so much as a here and now for relationship question? But even more importantly, let's leave it unspecified. There is a load of feeling coming towards the therapist or to any human being anywhere, to another human being, and how the hell do you know what is being transferred from the past onto the present? I mean, we walk around in a cloud of previous experience projecting our particular biases onto the world. Our perspective is uniquely our perspective. To know where it comes from, conscious, unconscious, education, miseducation. How the hell do you ever know exactly? Call it telly. At least until you really identify the unconscious transference that might be part of the telly. I want to go even further, really, that that this transference question, Moreno might be right where he says, where he's sort of scathing, I think, of stuff from the past is being transferred onto the present. It is actually a coex system that's being activated. And in that sense, there's a self-similarity between, or a similarity between the past and the present. And to ignore that aspect of it could be a strong phenomena in the layer of the onion that actually triggers a small bit of similarity at another time. The reality In other words, might be more the reality. But the current dynamic, the here and now dynamic, will have some similarity with other layers of the onion, but it may be the most relevant one at any one time. Three, four. There's another thing there that... Pause. Well, another thing is that it takes one to know one, that encounter, empathy, relating to another person, means being able to step into their shoes. And it actually, I think, means activating the aspect of the other in yourself, becoming them. But it we don't literally become them. We are already everything they are. It is a sort of spiritual idea, really, that we are all one, we are everything. But if I think about it, you know, I strongly hold that you don't have to be a black to understand blacks. You don't have to be poor to understand the poor. It's because at some level we know what it's like to be other, or to be oppressed, or to be deprived, because we get deprived in every moment of our life. You know, gravity deprives us of flight. We know what it's like to be bound by time. We know what it's like to have to leave a womb. We all do, by definition. And we know what it's like to know about death. We know what it's like to need and not have our needs met. And it doesn't matter. The content is not the crux of it. Stop. Counter idea. Listening to Joe Court Smith. Talking about how she was persuaded by Timothy Leary to betray a lawyer by setting him up so that he could comply with the justice want the guy up so that he could get out of jail. And she says, well, you know, people who've criticized him for that have never spent an interminable time in prison for nothing and being tortured and put into solitary confinement and sleep deprived and not allowed to leave prison. It's shocking that happened. Absolutely shocking. And she's in love with him and she becomes him, and he says, why don't we just set someone up, then he will do anything to get out of prison. And including betraying a lawyer. And he had a longer term plan. If he got out, he might have spoken out against that. Who knows? Maybe he did. What's the point I'm making? That he was to the point of betraying somebody. I think we're all capable of that. And it takes a hell of a strong belief system of equality not to do that. And anyway, it's like betraying something, someone at that point, may actually seem like it's nothing compared to what you're going through. Like, I'll do this small thing to achieve this higher thing. It is flawed. It is nasty. It's not admirable. It's bad. She feels bad about it. But she also says she was young. She's forgiven herself. I know I have to forgive myself for things. Haven't always done it. Final point then might be that this whole question of when to disclose, when not to disclose, when to interpret one's own transference and to share it and when not to, is none of that can be worked out as laws or principles. These things, every transference and counter-transference, every relationship is so different. The telly involved, what exactly is needed and is adequate to that situation is to be worked out in the situation by and large. And that may be the more embracing principle. And the other thing is that there is no great mistake made when it's not like if you disclose, you can talk about that. You can go back and say, how was that when I said that? And was that helpful or not? And then, are you telling the truth? And what would it be like if I hadn't? And what's the difference and why? And because it is research. Each one of these sessions is research into the specifics of the relationship. And I think that's the main thing, that a negative answer there is as useful as a positive one. And making mistakes is part of research. And